This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Breaking news into First Take on this Friday morning. Star defensive end J.J. Watt has been released by the Houston Texans. Since entering the league in 2011, he has the second most sacks in the league, only to Von Miller. That would be 101. We'll have much more on this with Good Morning Football's Kyle Brandt a little later in the show. To the NBA now we go, fellas. Steph Curry feeling himself after scoring 40 in a win over the Magic last night. Can't blame him. Steph is having one of the best stretches of his career, averaging over 35 points and shooting 53 for 101 from beyond the arc over his past eight games. When asked if he thought he should be in the conversation for MVP, Steph said, "The game speaks for itself." Facts. ESPN asked 100 media members in its first MVP straw poll of the season, and Curry currently ranks seventh within the first place of the vote. At the top is LeBron with 53 first-place votes, followed by Joel Embiid, Jokic, Kevin Durant, Kawhi Leonard, and Giannis. Big Perk back here with us. Max, where do you think Steph should rank right now in the MVP race?
I think he should be a notch higher than what he is. I'd put him ahead of Giannis because Steph's outside shooting is so absurd that he's creating space for everyone as usual in a team. We're going into the year, I said, really has below average shooting at every position. There's no starter who even shoots average for their position except for Steph, is having guys hit shots that don't normally hit shots at that rate. Because like what happened to Draymond early on in the kind of explosion of the Splash Brothers with Steph and Clay, Dre started hitting threes. He just had so much time to do it. So he's having that kind of ripple effect that makes up for the defense that Giannis can play at his size and also Giannis's offensive contributions. But I wouldn't buy, and I like the list that we have. I would put Embiid 1 at this moment, LeBron 2, Jokic, KD, and Kawhi. A caller to my radio show yesterday, Kendrick Perkins, you were on the Max Kellerman Show on ESPN Radio, 2 p.m. Eastern yesterday. A caller to my radio show brought up Kawhi as an MVP. And it's funny because he's kind of flown under the radar. And I think what's happening with Kawhi and with Giannis is people are like, we saw what happened in the playoffs last year. Stop. Right? They want them to prove something that they can't yet prove in this season. But if you look at Kawhi Leonard, whose team has 18 wins, they just won against Minnesota, like without Paul George, who plays defense, obviously, we all know Kawhi Leonard, who's averaging, what, about 27 points a game, but with 6 assists and 5 boards and 2 steals. And by the way, he doesn't shoot it like Steph because no one ever has. But Kawhi is almost a 50-40-90 guy. He's over 50% from the field, over 40% from three. He takes 5 a game, and he's almost at 90% from the line. So he's also an extremely efficient offensive player. I would have Steph. We have him 6. I'd have him. Sorry, ESPN have him 7th. I'd have him 6th.
Well, you're wrong, Max, and I would have Steph Curry top 5 in the MVP conversation. Matter of fact, I do have Steph Curry top 5 in the MVP conversation. I actually have him ranked 4th behind Big Jokic, Big Embiid, and LeBron James. And here's why. When you look at Steph Curry right now, and I said this before the season started, that I thought Steph Curry was going to have an MVP-type season, but I didn't know he was going to do it to this fashion. If you look at his stats right now, it's one of his best seasons of his career. It's compared to 2015. They are identical. He's averaging 30 points, 5.5 rebounds, almost 6 assists a game, and he's on the task shooting 50% from the field. Now, when I look at this Warriors team and I look at the personnel that they have there, no disrespect to Draymond Green because he's a star in his role. Oh, I think Andrew Wiggins have been playing phenomenal basketball, solid basketball in his role as well. But if you take Steph off this Golden State Warriors team, they will be the worst team in the league. They will be in the lottery, literally. He's literally single-handedly carrying this team, putting putting up monster numbers every single night. He was 10 for 19 last night from the three. I mean, he just went on a tear, completely took over the game, got them back into the game in the third quarter to go ahead and blow it open and win the game. So when I'm looking at what Steph is doing, this is one of his best seasons of his career. And without him on this team, the Golden State Warriors would be the worst team in the league or in the lottery.
Well, I'm not going to argue too strenuously against Steph as a top five MVP candidate because I think you can make the argument. Let me tell you why I don't. Like, I respect putting him in the top five because of the impact he's having on a team that, you're right, would be a lottery team without him. I don't like to hold guys, teammates against them, whether, you know, if they're good. So a lot of times in an MVP conversation, you say, well, he's on a squad that's no good. I'm going to give him extra points. It's not Kawhi or LeBron or Embiid's fault that they're playing on good teams. Let me tell you why I don't have him in the top five. But here's my list. Embiid, one, at this moment. LeBron, two. Jokic, KD, Kawhi. And by the way, the dude right after Steph, for me, is Giannis. And of those seven guys, they all have big defensive impact. Big defensive impact. That's half the game. So they also have offensive impact. Even if you want to argue Steph has an even greater offensive impact because of the space he creates and how efficient he is, you could argue that. But these guys are in that conversation on that end of the floor. And on the other end of the floor, Steph's not in the conversation with them. Even Jokic, who doesn't have a reputation as a defender, has a defensive influence on the game because of his size and because he's worked on that side of his game. So I don't think Steph's offense is enough to offset these elite scorers and playmakers who also are elite defenders. Embiid, LeBron, you know, these guys are elite Kawhi, elite defenders.
Well, Max, let me say this. Let me say why I give Steph a whole lot of credit. Because all the MVP candidates that's right now the front runners for MVP, Steph is the only one that is not playing with a certified Robin. He does not have another superstar alongside of him. You look at LeBron James right now, he has Anthony Davis. You look at Kawhi Leonard, he has Paul George. You look at Jokic, he has Jamal Murray. You look at Joel Embiid, he has Ben Simmons. Steph Curry, who does he have? He's single-handedly carrying this Warriors team and doing it in great fashion. I know it's a great point. That's why I brought it up.
He is. You're right. No, it's a good point. I didn't say a great point. I said it's a good point. But I'll say this.
He has done it.
He's done it to the tune of 14 wins. Like, of everyone we're talking about, his team is one least on the list. So it's understandable because of the roster he's dealing with. And maybe if his team had a better one-loss record than Kawhi's team, given that Kawhi is as a much better team than Steph, I would agree with you. But they don't. All these other guys' teams have won more, yes, because of the supporting cast. So when you're trying to isolate the value of the player, on offense, I would say if it was just an offensive conversation, damn, you might even say Steph is number one on this list if it was just offense. But the other guys are right there with him. But when you start talking defense, Perk, he's not with the other guys. He's not with Kawhi. He's not with LeBron.
Max.
He's not with Embiid.
Max, so what?
But what on defense?
Look, when I look at MVP, look, when we talk about the most valuable player, we talk about the player that's most valuable to that team, okay? What would that team be without this particular player? And if you take Steph Curry off this team, again, this team will probably be have the worst record in the league, and they will be in the lottery.
But that's just what it is. I just disagree with that definition.
You can do whatever you want. That's facts.
Disagree. Like, the idea of the most.
That's fine, Max.
When you play with the definition, what that means is players with better teammates are always a disadvantage in the MVP conversation. You want to hold it against LeBron and Kawhi that they're playing with better teammates?
Let's all take a little pause.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it. They won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
LeBron and the Lakers are 20-6 this season in their quest to defend their title, but still second in the West behind the Utah Jazz. Kawhi and Paul George's Clippers are in third and on their heels just a few games back. Perk still here with us. Max, who's the biggest threat to the Lakers in the West?
Well, I started out the season by saying it could be the Mavericks, but I have to say, and they started to win more recently, but Porzingis is always coming back from injury. And they've gone through COVID issues this year. I believe the Mavericks are going to be very dangerous by the time the playoffs roll around. But at this point, the way they're playing, it's got to be the Los Angeles Clippers. Guys, we know, like, you think the Clippers, you think Kawhi and Paul George. And I don't expect Kawhi to choke again in a game seven. Although I also don't think you can rely on Paul George to be a superstar in the playoffs. But it may not matter. Like, you think of the Clippers, you think the supporting cast, Patrick Beverley, Lou Williams, Marcus Morris, and it's a good supporting cast. But they didn't, you know, the tweaks they made to the roster, mainly I thought they upgraded with Serge Ibaka. Montrezl Harrell's a good player. Serge Ibaka can do a lot of the things Montrezl Harrell can do defensively, and he can block shots, and he can shoot. So I thought they were marginally improved there. They really needed a guy like Rondo. They didn't get him. But I didn't know Nick Batum could still play. Nicholas Batum was a guy who got, if he didn't get a max deal not that, you know, several years ago, it was something close to it. And most people think, yeah, most people thought at the time, yeah, he's like one of those statless all-star guys. The numbers don't jump out at you. But in every facet of the game, he helps your team. But he got his money and was in a non-competitive situation and seemed to lose interest. He's Nick Batum again, it seems like. So that's actually an under-the-radar improvement to that team that was already pretty deep. And now you look at them and you go Kawhi and Paul George and Batum and Ibaka and Lou Will and Patrick Beverley and Marcus Morris. They got a whole lot of. And Perk, at this moment, if the playoffs were to start today, that's the team that would trouble the Lakers the most, I think.
Well, I'm going to say this. The Utah. All of it. And if it's one team in the West that could beat the Lakers in the West and challenge them, it's the Utah Jazz. When I look at this team is not lacking at nothing. They have everything. You want defense? They rank top five in every statistical category. You want offense? They rank top five in every statistical category. And then they have a head coach who I think don't get enough praise in Quinn Snyder, who's a hell of an X of X's and O's type guy. But when you look at their roster, they have shooting in Bogdanovich, Jordan Clarkson, who in my opinion is a sixth man of the year candidate, who's leading the league and scoring off the bench right now. You have Joe Ingles, okay? Burr, a defensive player of the year.
They have Derek. All right, Perk, I think we're okay.
They have Derek Favors, okay?
You're breaking up for a bit, but it's fine.
They have Derek Favors, a backup center that come in and they don't lack at that position. Mike Conley is starting to play like the Mike Conley that we saw in Memphis. And Donovan Mitchell, he has took a tremendous leap. We all know that he could get buckets. We know that he could score. in his sleep. We witnessed that last year in the playoffs. But now he's taking another step in making guys better. He's dropping dimes. He's creating passes on time, on target. So if it's any team in the West right now, today, that could challenge the Los Angeles Lakers and beat them, it's the Utah Jazz.
Only problem with the Jazz is I hear what you're saying. You're right about all that. Donovich and Gobert, you have the offense, you have the shooting, the defense, and Donovan Mitchell can go get you a bucket basically whenever he wants. But they lost to Denver last year because they really had one guy who can be an MVP when you need him most in Donovan Mitchell. And Denver had two in Jamal Murray and Jokic. And when I look at this team, Perk, and as much as I know it's not about hero ball and all that, if you have an efficient team, look at the Spurs once upon a time. But when you're playing other teams who can do a lot of the stuff you can do, and they have two guys who can go do it like that, it's different. Mike Conley was no good in last year's playoffs, and he's always been one of my favorite players. But he is going to have to be that guy who can also go get the bucket when you most need it for them to be what you're saying in the playoffs.
But Max, to your point, they took the Denver Nuggets to seven games, okay? And Jamal Murray had an out-of-body experience, in my opinion. He went
so
off.
Donovan, though.
But look, they were missing a 20-point score. Bogdanovich wasn't there. This is a huge piece that they were missing last year in the bubble. Now they got him back, and he's playing phenomenal basketball, Max.
Mm-hmm. No argument there.
All right. Big Perk, we're letting you go. You have a wonderful weekend, and we will catch back up with you on Monday. Stay safe. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You know what I can't wait for, Max and Dana, UFC President Dana White with us right now.
There he is.
Is to get all dressed up, go to dinner. I mean, head to the arena, packed crowd, fans going nuts, the walkout, the whole thing, go out after. I certainly miss that. But Dana, you've done an exceptional job of entertaining us while we've been at home, so we appreciate that. How you doing?
Thank you. I'm awesome. And listen, I can't wait to have you guys back, have the place sold out, that energy, that buzz that you get on fight night.
Oh, it's the best.
I'm ready for it.
Listen,
too.
The
and
UFC, Dana, the UFC.
I've been talking.
The UFC has the UFC has shown the sports world how it's done during the pandemic. You were the first to do it. You said on this show when I asked you what's the secret, you can't be afraid to spend money. Basically, scared money don't make money. And you've kept putting on great live events through the whole pandemic.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And I've been making some calls out there, and I was very skeptical at the beginning of this year. About crowds coming back, but it's starting to lighten up. I'm feeling good about Vegas this summer, and obviously Florida. Lots of good talks in Florida. Florida's ready to go, and a couple of other states. So who knows? Maybe this summer we might have that.
That's exciting. Very encouraging. As soon as I'm vaccinated, I'm out there. So looking forward to it. But let's talk about some of these, because meanwhile, I'll be enjoying them from the comfort of my couch, which is still good. Dana, actually, before we get to UFC 258, I got to talk about Khabib, the undefeated champ. So I understand you sat down with him recently, and you're hopeful that he is going to fight again. Please tell me why. Inquiring minds want to know.
Yeah, I think if you look at that division right now, you got Poirier, Gaethje, Oliveira, Michael Chandler, Tony Ferguson, Conor McGregor. I mean, it goes all the way down to number nine, Beneil Dariush. I mean, the top nine guys in the world are incredible. And, you know, you don't grow up the way this kid grew up, and then all of a sudden, now you're not competitive, now you don't want to compete at that level. The guy's almost 30-0. I think he's waiting to see how this whole thing plays out. And the reality is, all these guys need to fight each other. They can all say, oh, I deserve it. Oh, I'm the guy that should get it next. No, you're going to get out there. You're going to fight the top nine best guys in the world, and we're going to find out who deserves it. I think if the right fight is there, Khabib will take it.
Mm-hmm.
McGregor,
Max, before you jump in, let me just correct something that I just said here really quick. Dana, that you are going to be meeting with him. I apologize. I said you already had, but you will be meeting with him.
We did and we are.
Future.
No, you weren't wrong. We did and we are.
Perfect. Okay, good.
You bring
all
up the
perfect.
Long
ahead,
list
Max.
Of top and spectacular fighters who aren't champion at the moment. But by the way, when one promoter, you know, controls the plurality of talent on the planet, as, you know, has not happened in boxing, unfortunately. You know, the number five contender, if we're talking about boxing, he'd have some belt. He'd be some champion. But in the UFC, he's just the number five contender. So let's talk about some non-title fights, especially McGregor, Poirier, three. You know, does the winner have the best claim? If Khabib does stay retired, does the winner have of that fight have the best claim to the throne?
No, I think what happened. Yeah, I think when these things play out, you got Poirier and McGregor. You probably got Gaethje and Oliveira or Chandler. You got Tony Ferguson versus one of those guys too. When this whole thing plays out, this is why there's never any question who the best fighter in the world is in the UFC. The guy who has the title is the best, because right. He's run through all the baddest dudes in the world, you know, from the top 15 all the way up to becoming champion. It's beautiful for fight fans that you actually get to see the best fight the best every Saturday night. It's going to happen this Saturday night too, but that will play out in the lightweight division, and it's going to be fun this year.
Dana, let's go there. The main event, 258, Usman versus Burns. You've said Usman has the chance to be the greatest fighter ever. That's a big deal. What makes him different than someone like John Bones Jones?
Right. Well, if you look at what he's doing just this weekend, he tied George St. Pierre for consecutive UFC wins at 12. If he wins this weekend, he breaks GSP's record for 13. And this guy, Gilbert Burns, that he's fighting is a real tough fight. This is one of the toughest fights he's had in his career so far. So it's one of those type of fights. Two guys in their prime, two of the best in the world for the title. Then if he wins, he's still got Colby Covington waiting for him. He's got Leon Edwards, Jorge Masvidal. I mean, this guy has straight killers waiting in line for him. So if he can continue to beat guys the way he has and be as dominant as he has been, after we pop our head up in a year, year and a half, and he's gone through these guys possibly, you start talking about him being probably the best welterweight ever and one of the greatest of all time.
Yeah, he's been through some killers already. But you mentioned Gilbert Burns. This thing about the UFC is, on this level, it feels like, oh, this guy's invincible. But these fights can end at any moment either way. And when I see a Brazilian fighter who came up with BJJ as his base knock out people the way Burns is knocking out people, when those Brazilian grapplers get their hands going like that, get their striking going like that, it's super dangerous. Now, Usman's, what, a 3-1 favorite? Not even quite that? Do you think that reflects the odds, really?
Crazy. And you're absolutely right, Max. What happens with a guy like Gilbert Burns is he's a multiple-time jiu-jitsu world champion. And he is not afraid. Most people don't want Kamaru Usman to take him down. Burns hopes he takes him down. But he'll stand up and trade with him, too. He's got big power in both hands. He's got a great chin. Anywhere this fight goes, this kid is dangerous.
Yeah. No question.
Hey, Molly, I want to jump in with one more if you don't mind.
Yeah, I want to
follow up with Usman. What's interesting to me about Usman, Dana, is if you said 2 years ago he has a chance to be the greatest ever, you'd be laughed at. You know, his learning curve is so steep. And what impresses me is I think of guys like great fighters. Take one guy who beat, George St. Pierre back in the day, right? We're talking about Matt Hughes. Mm-hmm. Sorry, it's been a long time. But Matt Hughes did it like with brute strength and heart. I look at a guy like John Bones Jones. He does it with athletic ability and talent. But when you look at Habib, he's physically stronger than these guys. When I watch Usman, it's like he has a counter to whatever the other guy is doing. He's outthinking them. And it's happening so fast. Like, did you see this happening for Usman 2 years ago, let's say, that he'd be here?
You're dead on again. I wasn't high on Usman early on. You know, he had said a couple of things about, you know, in this fight I only used 30%. When he fought Rafael Dos Anjos, from that fight on, I've become a complete Usman fan. And you're right. The guy is gritty and tough, and he just keeps coming forward. Whatever you throw at him, he's coming right back with it. I mean, it was never more evident than in the Colby Covington fight, which is one of the greatest fights I've ever seen in my entire career. You know, those two, it was a dogfight the entire fight until he finishes them late in the fifth round.
All right. UFC 258, cannot wait to see it. And Dana, I mean, everybody knows Max is the face of boxing ringside. We need to get him octagon side. People don't realize what an MMA junkie he is since day one, Max. I got to see that at some point. We got to make
that
happen.
I've been trying to do it for years. Believe me, I've been all over this guy for 20
years. We need to do it.
When I want to see John Jones. When John Jones comes back and he's fighting at heavyweight, we'll talk.
All right, deal.
I love it. All right, Dana, so good talking to you. Stay safe, and we'll catch up with you soon. Can't wait for Saturday night.
Too.
It's going to be fun.
DraftKings is the official daily fantasy sports partner of UFC. And this Saturday, new players can play free for over $50,000 in prizes when you make your deposit. Download the DraftKings app and sign up with promo code OCTAGON for your shot at $50,000 in prizes. Only on DraftKings.
Breaking news into First Take this afternoon. Star defensive end of the Houston Texans, J.J. Watt, has been released by the team. He has the second most sacks in the NFL since entering in 2011. That would be 101 sacks. He's been released by the Texans. Joining us now is the host of NFL Network's Good Morning Football in 10 Questions with Kyle Brandt podcast. Kyle Brandt, good to see you. Thank you for being with us on this Feel Good Friday.
Thrilled to be here at Max and Molly in the Morning. Incredible show you guys have.
I think we can call
you.
Kyle friend of the
fun.
Show at this point, right? Can't
Thanks,
we just say he's a friend of the
yes.
show? Wouldn't you say?
Yes.
Yes.
You guys do a
sure.
great job.
For sure.
You too, dude.
All right, guys, we're going to have a little fun. Obviously, we know we've heard Adam Schefter say there could be 18. You know what? Let me get your reaction to J.J. Watt first before I get into the QB scramble because I'm getting all excited over here. What are your thoughts on this? The Texans releasing J.J. Watt. Texans have been in the news quite a bit lately.
First of all, yes, they have. Incredible, incredible run. J.J. Watt could retire right now, and I think walk into the Hall of Fame based on what he's done. I think for about 2 years, J.J. was the best player in all of football. And not to mention, he hosted Saturday Night Live and starred in movies and rose up an entire city after Hurricane Harvey. As far as what he's got going forward, Molly, not as much as you used to, but I have visions of Dwight Freeney in an Atlanta Falcons jersey still hitting that spin move, being like a Mariano Rivera closer as a pass rusher. Mm-hmm. And if I was talking to J.J. Watt, I would say, dude, go play with your brothers in Pittsburgh. Take pennies on the dollar. It is worth way much more money and life experience. Go play with Pittsburgh. They're always looking for pass rushers in the AFC. Get out of Houston and go to the Steel City.
You know, people forget now. I'm glad you brought it up about J.J. Watt. Before Aaron Donald held the position he has in the NFL right now is like maybe greatest front seven player we've ever seen. Like, in my opinion, it's Lawrence Taylor. But, you know, Ray Lewis or Reggie White or Bruce Smith, these are all guys to me. Like, Taylor leads that group of guys. Aaron Donald now. J.J. Watt, not that long ago, we were asking, is his prime as good as LT's prime? He's in the conversation for greatest front seven player ever. and he asks for his release. And this is after the team gets rid of DeAndre Hopkins without informing Deshaun Watson. And then Andre Johnson comes out that, you know, either DeAndre Hopkins or Andre Johnson, their best offensive player in team history until maybe Deshaun Watson, right? And he's talking about the team. And now J.J. Watt's apologizing to Deshaun Watson and asks for his release. The Texans look so bad right now. They went from a franchise that you wouldn't say, hey, here's the most dysfunctional franchise in the NFL. At this moment, they look like the most dysfunctional. Even if they're serious about not trading Deshaun, I think they're posturing to get a better deal, right? But if they're serious, you can orchestrate a trade right now where that starts at 3 first-round picks. They're going to screw that up, too? Like, the guy doesn't want to play there anymore. No one wants to play for this team.
The legacy, Max, is terrible. It seems like all of the players in their ring of honor leave and are pissed off, including people like Andre Johnson, who doesn't seem to be pissed off about anything, except he is, and I'm glad you brought it up, how much he dominated, because he was Lawrence Taylor-like. Let's not forget, they even put J.J. Watt in on offense. This guy was so good, he was catching touchdowns in the red zone, and now he's issuing a video shot vertically on his phone from his cabin saying it's been real. The Houston Texans chasing their tail right now. It's frustrating.
Yeah, again, being released by the Texans. But, yes, that was at his request. I'm sure plenty of teams will be clamoring to get 99. Let's not forget the Texans finished 4-12. We got to know those types of talents want better than that. All right, now we're going to have fun. Quarterback scramble. 18 teams could be changing quarterbacks. So here's the deal. This is what we're going to do. Max, you're going to tell me where the quarterback should go. Kyle, you're going to tell me why he's wrong, or maybe you co-sign. So here we go.
Should
Let's
go.
Start with
Wait,
Carson
Molly.
Wentz, fellas.
Molly, I'm talking about my prediction where he will go, not
will
should.
Go.
Will.
Yes.
Not should, yeah.
Okay, Will. Okay, let's get all the details out there. Are we ready to play? Let's roll it.
Yeah, let's play.
We start with Carson Wentz. The Eagles were expected to trade him at some point in the week, but here we are, fellas. It's Friday. There's no deal. Okay. So, Max, where will Wentz play next season?
I think Chicago, because Chicago has never gotten quarterback right ever in my lifetime. You know, Chicago should be the team going all out to get Deshaun Watson. That's the team that should really be going all out to get him. And they'll wind up with Carson Wentz, and Bears fans are used to it.
See, I wish I could tell Max that he's wrong. I don't want to do like Dana White and tell you that you're dead on about everything for the entire segment. I would love to scream at you. But Max, you are accurate here. The quarterback carousel, the Chicago Bears have been riding it for 70 years. They built that carousel. They can't afford Deshaun Watson. They elevated John DeFilippo and their coaching staff, who has a history with Wentz. I think we're talking about the Carson Wentz Chicago Bears here. You cannot bring Trubisky back. You cannot trot Foles out again. Nagy and Pace, who run that show, they got about 1 year. And Carson Wentz has MVP-level ceiling. Not tape right now, but ceiling. I think Carson Wentz, and it's kumbaya between the two of us right now. Let's fight about something, Molly. What's next?
All right, we'll move on then. Next up, let's go back to the Texans and all their drama. Okay. Deshaun Watson, it's not his fault. So the Texans have said they will not trade him, but obviously we know Deshaun's desire to get out of H-Town. So, Max, where will Watson play this next season?
I think it's going to be Miami. And the question will be, how much does Miami believe in Tua? And even then, a bird in the hand, you know? Deshaun Watson would be a bird in the hand. They're hoping Tua. I think Tua is undervalued right now. But they're hoping he'll turn into a franchise quarterback. Deshaun Watson is already a great quarterback in his prime. And they have not only Tua, but the number 3 overall pick in the draft. Usually a team with a 3rd overall pick stunk, but they have it through trade. So they're loaded, the Dolphins, in terms of talent. They're extremely well coached. Remember we asked at the beginning of last year or 2 years ago, did the team quit on Flores? Is this the worst team of all time? They wound up beating the Patriots last game of the season, and then this year they had the season they had. They have Tua, the number 3 pick. You like Devontae, who do you like in college to pair with Tua? The Texans could pull off a trade, the likes of which the Cowboys once did for a running back, that could stock them not only for the future but immediately. And I think because of that and where Deshaun would want to go, I'd love to go to a stacked team if I was Deshaun, because they don't need the number 3 pick to pair with the quarterback to already be loaded. In the warm weather, by the way, we talk about minority head coaches and people of color in front offices. Check, check. Like, it goes right down the list in Miami. What's not to like for Deshaun? And for Miami, what's not to like, you know, with the quarterback?
Yeah, unless they decide that they love Tua. But I don't think that they do. I don't look at Brian Flores and say, that's a guy with a lot of patience. That's a guy who suffers fools. That's a guy who's benching Tua in critical games for Fitzmagic. Listen, it's young. It's early in his career. He's a young guy. I don't know if Tua has it. I don't. And I mean, when you speak to him, when you watch him, he better have a huge turnaround if he's going to stay on that team. Because my answer to the question of where Deshaun Watson's going to end up, I think he's going to end up in Cabo San Lucas like Ezekiel Elliott did during training camp. I think he's on the Cabo plan. I think he's going to be fishing, maybe cliff diving. I hesitate to bring up things going off cliffs when I talk to Max. That never ends well. But maybe, because I don't think the Houston Texans are going to do that. I think they've said, all right, JJ, fine. DeAndre, it's done. We're going to put our foot down at some point. We're not trading Deshaun Watson. We are willing to go down. Yes, it goes down, not up. DEFCON 3-2-2-1. I think this thing's going to get ugly as hell. And I think when that training camp opens, it's going to be in Mexico.
When you talk to Max about the cliff, it doesn't end well. You talk to Max about the cliff, you win 3 Super Bowls in 5 years. It ends great. It's still not over.
I hope Max predicts I fall off a cliff, right?
Yeah, I should fall
off
a cliff.
Let's go to Jimmy G. And by the way, I don't understand all the Jimmy G hate. He was hurt most of the season, but everybody's wrote him off. All right, so he plagued by injuries 1 year and taking the Niners to the Super Bowl. So, Max, where do you think Jimmy G will play next season?
I agree with you, Molly. Jimmy Garoppolo, it's not coincidental that, Shanahan's a genius and all this. Yeah, but with backup quarterbacks ostensibly who could get it done, they couldn't buy a win without Garoppolo. Since he's been there, he almost always wins. And when he's not available, they almost never win. And by the way, that includes the playoffs. Jimmy Garoppolo has some of the same characteristics as Brady. He doesn't have the same arm, but he reads defenses quickly. He gets the ball out quickly, basically accurately, if not, down the field accurately. And they win a lot. I think he's heading back to New England. I think he is going to be a cheaper alternative than a lot of these quarterbacks on the carousel. New England doesn't have a lot of money to spend. He was Belichick's pick over Brady, and they're going to need a quarterback. I think Belichick's going to grab him.
Wow, Max, that'd be fascinating because we know he ain't grabbing Cam again. Maybe we'll have time to get to Cam here. But in order to grab him again, newly minted Hall of Famer John Lynch has to say, get out of here, Jimmy. We're done with you. And I don't think they're going to do it. I think Lynch likes Jimmy Garoppolo. I know for a fact that George Kittle loves Jimmy Garoppolo and is ready to walk into traffic for him. And I think George Kittle is their best player. I think he stays in San Francisco. I really do. It's a lot of money. Now, they may draft a quarterback because Shanahan, as we know, is a huge quarterback snob. And I say that to him as a compliment. All this stuff about Kirk Cousins from Minnesota, that's not happening. I think they stay with Jimmy with potentially drafting a quarterback. And I would love reuniting with Bill Belichick in New England to prove that maybe he can play like Brady. Maybe he's better looking than Brady. As we know, he's going to end up on the cover of a Danielle Steele novel. That novel, that is the answer to all of these. But I think he'll be playing football in San Francisco.
Yeah, Kyle, I'll say quickly that I'm not going to reveal it yet. But I made this – I had this in my mind that Garoppolo would go back to New England, that he wouldn't stay in San Francisco before a new piece of information came out a couple of days ago, and I will reveal that when Molly asks the proper question, but I will wait until then. I don't want to spoil it.
All right.
Wait, what's the – I don't know what the proper question is.
Let's just keep going down the list. Let's keep going down the list.
Got it. It's who's next. Okay. Sorry, I messed that up. Wasn't as smooth as the fellas. Okay, next up, Cam Newton. So that's where we go. 7-8 record with New England last season. Max, where will Cam play next season?
Well, actually, this is not the new piece of information, but I'll say this. I think
Cam Newton. Oh, my gosh, what's the information? Just tell me the information.
Max, what is the information?
I will reveal it when the time is right.
Patience, Max.
Patience. Uncle Max will reveal all when the time is right.
Oh, my God, I have none.
Listen, I think the Texans are going to need a quarterback, a stopgap quarterback at the very least, someone who maybe can also sell some tickets. I think Cam learned a lot about leadership and humility in his experience in New England. And what tells me that is Belichick really supported his competitiveness and all that stuff. Cam, don't forget how it's not like, quarterback stats, it's a means to an end. The question is your team winning or losing? They won 7 games, many against excellent teams. Don't forget, Cam had COVID, and he was not the same for several weeks after that. The practice facilities were shut down. He couldn't get to know his new teammates. He was coming off catastrophic injury, and he was in a system completely different than the one he'd played in. I think Cam has some football left in him, and I think whatever deal the Texans get for Deshaun, it's possible that doesn't include a ready-to-play quarterback, and then Cam's available. Why not?
Well, why not? Because I think Cam is going to get a great opportunity next year, and I think where Cam is going to land is on television. I think Cam Newton will be on First Take screaming at you guys about a Ben Simmons mid-ranger and Zion's minutes. I saw a guy at the end of the season who could barely throw a pass. Sure, he was injured. Sure, he's been beaten up. I don't see him as a starting quarterback anywhere. A 1 year with Belichick, it started great and then fell apart fast. I think Cam Newton would be electric on television, and I don't mean just the wardrobe. I think he'll be sitting right here with you guys. Molly, are you feeling it? Because we're all sitting here like Geraldo outside of Jimmy Hoffa's vault waiting for Max's tee-up that he's looking for his piece of
information. Are you saying there's nothing in it?
What do you got?
Listen, I would love to have Cam.
That's up to you.
I'd love to have Cam on ESPN, but I think he's still got some football left to play. And as far as Max and his piece of information, I already forgot what it's even about. So whenever it happens, it happens. Guys, let's go to the Pacific Northwest, and that would be Russell Wilson. So I talked a lot about Deshaun Watson this week, and obviously I've been talking about the fact how many hits he's taken. I didn't realize how many hits Russell Wilson has taken while he's been with Seattle. Max, he's not happy about it. Where do you think he plays next season?
I think he's going to stay put. Russell Wilson, it's curious to me because his offensive line, starting with the Max Unger for Jimmy Graham trade, fell apart. Like, Seattle got really arrogant about O-line play. They thought they could just develop anyone late in the draft, off practice squads, whatever. It did not work. And he was running for his life. And the defense back then was okay. But when I look at the offensive line in the last couple of years, they've invested more in it, both in treasure and draft picks. I think, to my eye anyway, Kyle, you will know this better than I, but it seems to me they've been playing better on the line recently. I see that come up in the run game returns. I see that, and they obviously have great receivers on that team. So I'm surprised that Russell Wilson singling that out now when clearly the issue in Seattle is the defense. The defense, you know, really was not good enough. I thought the trade for Jamal Adams would push them over the top, bend not break. It did not turn out that way. He was hurt a lot. But I think cooler heads will prevail in Seattle, and Russell Wilson will stay put.
I'm just trying to think of cool heads between John Schneider and Pete Carroll as they're sitting there this week listening to Russ talk about how much he gets hit too much and I need this and I need that. And then they're looking at their books and they're saying, Russ, we're paying you $35 million a year. We can't exactly bring in the first team all pros to put them in front of you. Give me a break. And how many of those sacks and how many of those hits do you take? Because you're standing back there burping the baby interminably and running around making highlights. It's a lot on you too, Russ. And we cannot pay you because you're making all of the money in the world. God bless you for it. You're great. You earn it. But we're going to have to deal with some bargain bottom guys in front of you, and that's all on you. Where's he going to be next year? He's going to be at home in his beautiful house with his beautiful family after the wild card round, like he is pretty much every year now. There's a real problem there where they cannot build a great team around him because the quarterback makes too much damn money, and they're not the only team.
They could draft an offensive lineman in the first round for a change and then fill out the defense with the rest of their picks.
They don't have a first-round pick. They traded it for a safety. You can't cover anybody.
That's right. That's right.
It's crazy, Max.
That's right.
They do need help on defense, too. All right. We got another one here, guys. Finally on our list, it is Dakota Prescott, Dak. So Dak and the Cowboys reportedly not close on any deal. He's coming off a season-ending ankle injury. Max, where do you think Dak's going to play next season?
Well,
we do know he just followed Washington on IG, whatever that means.
That's the piece of information, Molly. Since he's followed the Washington football team on IG.
Oh, my gosh, that's information?
Well, it's not my information. I said the information came out a couple days ago that started changing the way I was thinking about it. If Washington can really make a run at Dak, and when you follow a divisional rival, it means then maybe where there's smoke, there's some fire, then that changes my idea about Garoppolo going to New England. Because originally, my thought was maybe Dak winds up in San Francisco. San Francisco with Dak Prescott would be impossible. You know, they're good. Dak Prescott's better than Garoppolo. If San Francisco has Dak Prescott, who is able to take, I really think the Cowboys, they're not dysfunctional, but they certainly aren't firing on all cylinders. And he had an elite offense when he was on the field with the Cowboys. What would Shanahan be able to do with him in San Francisco? And he'd have a defense. So, but now that he's followed the Washington team, I'm hedging my bets a little, Kyle.
Well, this always a flip side to that coin. He's followed Washington. Has he unfollowed Dallas? Because there's always an unfollowing. Can you tell us this, Max, in your intrepid reporting?
Yeah, well, it's not my reporting. Wait a minute. You two are making it sound like I said this is
it
information
is.
That came out. I didn't say I had
a
piece of
Max, it. Is you overpromised and you underdelivered with that information that I already had. But
so it is like
on,
the
Kyle.
Vault. It's like right. Geraldo with the vault.
Poof. Live TV. We're standing there. We got minutes to cover. There ain't squat in that vault, but I think there will be a lot coming from the Jerry Jones vault to Dak Prescott. Where's Dak going to end up? He's going to end up where he always does, in the opening segments of all of our shows every day for the rest of our lives, because I think he's going to be on the Dallas Cowboys under the franchise tag. That's where I think this is going. I'll tell you why. In a weird way, guys, I think that that terrible injury might have done Dak a favor in the long run. If he sticks around and he does the 9-7 thing and they get in, they lose in the wild card round, it's the same narrative, is that, well, he's good, but I don't know if he's good enough to get us over the hump. He came in and was blistering statistically to start the season. He looked unbelievable. As Max said, he'd be great with San Fran. He gets hurt and the whole damn thing falls apart. This idea that he just drives the Ferrari and it's the pieces around him, no. He gets hurt and the Cowboys could barely line up under center. I think his leverage went up. I think his value went up. And yet I still don't think they're giving him a long-term deal. I think he's playing under the tag next year with a star in his helmet.
What's crazy about the tag is if they sign you to the tag, that whole thing is guaranteed. So, for example, he got hurt last year. He didn't play at all. And he collected $35 million? You know, if he does that again over those 2 years, he might come out ahead. Kirk Cousins did this, and he's not half the player that Dak is. If he winds up making $75, $80 million or whatever, it's going to be close to it, in 2 years before he signs his big deal, it kind of worked out for the best for him. It's true.
Well, this is why I love coming in early and listening to the segment before us, because Max is sitting there talking to Dana White about scared money don't make money. And that's exactly what we've got going on with Cousins, with Dak. They are first ballot Hall of Famers for money making. And I think Dak will get into it this season based on what he does with Dallas, guys. This is always fun.
Yeah. First ballot Hall of Famer for money making. That's the thing you want to be.
Darrell Rivas, season two.
Oh, my goodness. Kyle Brandt, you're an active listener. That's all I got to say. Everyone, please check out his podcast and obviously Good Morning Football as well. Max, any parting thoughts before we say goodbye for the week?
Have a great long weekend, everyone who gets one.
Yeah.
You've got
nothing. Bye, Jimmy Hoffa.
Goodbye, everyone.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.